Hey everybody, this is Mandy, and I don't have exes, I have whys, because I know why it ended.
Hi everyone, this is Ollie, and I want you to know that your body is an autumn, spring, winter, fall, and summer body. It is what it is, whether it's tight, whether it's loose, whether it jiggles, where it stays where it's supposed to, where it doesn't stay where it's supposed to, your body is a summer body. And this is the Mandy and Ollie podcast.
You search for guys with the Mustangs. Daddy ran away and left your mama with the keys to the Mustang. Yeah, keys to the Mustang.
My body loose.
You don't even let me say hey yet, y'all. Start off with the mess.
You gonna get this loose body.
You gonna get this loose body. For last week, I'd say I've been toning up. I've been only really eating salads. I've been cutting out candy. So it's been. But I had some cookies staring at me right now. I had a breakfast biscuit that was staring at me, and I was just like, "Do I want to do this? I want to mess up my streak? I don't know." So it's hard. It's hard eating what society says is clean, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
I've been eating extra gummy vitamins because I've been craving sweets. So I'm like,
okay,
the only reason why I didn't get the candy though or the sweets is because I'm trying not to spend money, not because I'm not trying to eat sweets.
Yeah, okay. That works too. I justify it by getting my sweets from the Dollar Tree. I go to the candy aisle and I get either the box candy. I look for the one that gives me the most ounces so I get the most money for my candy. And then, yeah, I can justify it. I go to Dollar Tree. I look for one with the most ounces so I can get for a dollar. And then I head on out. That's back.
Sounds
when I
used like you are very practical.
It's not just practical. I'm well practiced when it comes to who is going to carry what I want at the money rate I want it. So yeah, as a candy connoisseur, I'm very conscious about my cash.
All right, alliteration, go off. Apparently it was drop the pen. You're not dropping the mics, guys. We pay money for these
fancy mics. How are you doing today, Mandy? It's so good to see you.
That's very nice to say. I might.
Okay. Practical response.
I mean, I am living day by day, just trying to get to a point when I don't have to do anything.
Okay. Like retired point?
Nah, just like a day when I don't have any thing.
Obligations? Like to-do? Oh. I don't think I've ever had a non-to-do day, like for years, maybe decades. Maybe since I was born. Because I always have something to do. There's always something to do for me. There's never a day of just rest. Not anymore. Not at this point in my life.
I need to say something because this is an auditory situation. But I was looking at Ollie crazy, y'all, because I'm just like, why would you do that to yourself? Even when you say at this stage of life, I know that people be like, this stage of life, we got a hustle. We got all the time in the world, but we don't, you know, we got, yeah, like you said, grinding and blah, blah, blah. And I just be looking at people like, but why?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was definitely you, and I didn't realize I wasn't you anymore until we started recording this podcast just now. When I literally just said, oh no, I have something to do every single day. Now I realized that I am no longer in the other seat, because I used to be like, you can make time for what you want to make time for, and you don't have to be grinding all the time, or how you gonna enjoy life if you're just always working? You're not gonna be able to enjoy nothing until you're 70 something, da 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 da. But yeah, at this point in my life, I am just work mode 24/7, but definitely 7 days a week. There's not a day where I'm not like working on something.
I mean, I'm working on a lot of things, but I'm also trying not to regret the things that I'm working on. I'm trying to remember that they have an end result, and that the end result will be something. I don't know quite what, because
that's real.
Yeah, I don't know what made me be like, okay, let me go back to school and do these other things and have a full-time job. Yeah, I'm just like, you put all these things on your list. You did this to yourself, girl. Does the result really feel like it's going to be worth it? Or could you have just spent that time, you know, watching some extra TV and coloring? Like those people with that hustle mentality. Mm-hmm. I'm so curious about their mindset. I hustle too. Yeah. I just don't have the mentality. I just don't see as much of the value in it. And I talked to, you know, friends about that. Like one friend in particular where they're just like, yeah, I want to, you know, you got to work hard so then you can make all this money so then you can retire at a young age. But then I'm like, but people don't really be doing that. Like, when you look at even like Beyonce and Jay-Z. Jay-Z, quote-unquote, retired from rap many, many times. Right. And he could have legit retired, but he just kept coming back and kept picking up other ventures and kept doing other business things. Mm-hmm. So when folks are like, oh, I'm grinding so that I'll have money so that I don't have to worry later, to me it's like, that's not really why you're doing it. Because you're going to find another thing to put on your list because that's the type of person you are. Right. And just admit that. You're the type of person that has to stay busy. It's not just about the money. Because if you got the amount that you said that you want, you're going to say, well, what's the next thing that I want? Mm-hmm. That's how some people are.
Yeah.
Me, I don't do things because of an amount. Or even, I don't even think... It might sound bad to say, but I don't even think I'm goal-oriented.
Don't we start off every podcast episode with our goal?
We do, and that sounds really bad. But to me, it's not like, oh, I want to achieve this thing. I'm just like, this is something I want to do, so I'm going to do it. I no longer want to do that thing. All right, I guess I'm writing a new goal. Like, that's how it is to me.
Pivot.
As opposed to being like, I have to achieve this certain status, I have to achieve this certain thing. For the most part, there's a lot of things that yes, I would like to achieve in life, but I don't think those things are necessarily marked in the way that other people would. It's not a certain dollar amount that I'm grappling for. It's not a certain title that I'm trying to have. It's not a certain status of any kind. It's not a certain number of followers on social media.
Any idea like what it is then? If it's none of these things that people typically use to measure success or goals or advancing in life?
I'd just be like, I think this thing would be interesting. I want to try that. That's how I feel like we started this podcast. We literally was just hanging out one spring break. I was like, this would be interesting. Put it on camera and started a show. And then we were like, let's keep doing that until it develops into this podcast. It wasn't like, there was no goal set for it.
Yeah.
And like, I think
become the biggest, bestest, brightest, blackest podcast in the world. Yeah, we didn't have that.
Yeah,
kind of goal.
Or it wasn't like, oh, we see these people out there doing it. We can do it better than them. Right. If we do it this way, that way, blah, blah, blah. Especially knowing, like, you know, I always say this, and you say, stop saying this, but we only got like 5 people listening.
You guys don't listen to her.
Those 5 people that are listening, like, I don't want to sound rude, but if I was only doing it for y'all, there'd be a lot less episodes.
I can't.
I feel like I've been doing it because me and Ollie feel like we want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know? So do we find a time, we get on these mics, and we start talking.
Yeah.
It's not a, oh, we got to get this many listeners.
Right. Even though that would be nice.
It would be very nice. Please share.
It would be a nice added bonus. But yeah, like, if the goal was we need 500 active listeners weekly or monthly or yearly, or we're going to quit, then we would have been done.
Yep.
So she's definitely right about that. For me specifically, I have been loosey-goosey with my goals when it comes to goal time, or we're going over goals. And then my, I guess, measurement. Okay. So when the first thing you said was about you don't have a monetary number, or not the first thing, but one of the things you said is you don't have a monetary number. And that reminded me of a guy friend of mine who told me, he was like, this is the number I have in my head. When I hit this number, I'm going to retire. And in my head, I'm just like, I don't see how that works out, because with inflation, costs are always going to continue. You can't just hit a certain amount and live off of that forever. You eventually will have to return to work or get bored and have to find another hobby. So that's that one. On the other side of that, I do have a friend who has legit been grinding, hustling, working hard for 10, maybe 12 years in the music industry, and has had some really good ups and some really, you know, low lows. And I'm just like, it's hard to contact them sometimes. It's hard to hear from them. I don't always know if they're okay. But eventually when we get in contact, that's the first thing. Oh, I'm just grinding. I'm just working hard. I'm doing this stuff. And for them, I feel even more, because I'm like, you've been doing it for more than a decade and the fruits of your labor haven't blossomed yet, haven't bloomed. So I don't know how you can keep going unless you have that mentality that Mandy is talking about, that, oh, I'm a hustler. I'm a go-getter. I'm doing it. I'm forgetting my friends, forgetting my family. Me having a personal life, it's just me and my goals, and that's it. And wherever I land after I reach my goals, then I'll figure out my life afterwards. And I wouldn't let it happen to me.
And I know, like, I've talked to you and other friends about, like, I don't want to sound like I'm an unsupportive person, because I don't think I am, but there's people that I'd be like, bro, you need to let go of that dream. Like, you've been working towards this same specific thing and have not been able to successfully achieve it. That may not be your calling in life.
May not
be. If you've been hustling.
Right.
And I also talk about it in regards to, like, dudes. Mm-hmm. When they be like, oh, I can't focus on you right now because I got to, you know, I got to focus on getting this money. And blah, blah, blah. And, you know, once I get to my paper and I get to a certain status, then I'll be able to come back and get with you. And I'm just like... But you haven't gotten up to that. Like, if I'm holding my breath out for you to get to that number, I will die. Like,
that sucks. And that's a harsh reality. I literally had one of my past almost suitors, like, kind of say something similar to me. Like, you know, don't you think it reminded me of, like, the parents when they leave, the immigrant parents when they leave and they have to, like, send for their kids later. But he was basically like, don't you think if I were to reach where I need to reach by now, I would have sent for you? Like, I would have been like, get on the plane, come here, and let's start life together. And I'm like, yeah, I believe that. But also, as Mandy said, if I'm holding my breath for that to happen, like, I feel like there are 10 different other lives or alternatives or futures that I'm just letting pass by because you've decided to make this your one and only goal and priority. And I'm like, my life don't stop because that's what you wanted to focus on. So I appreciate the thought.
And I have, like, very personal feelings about that whole immigrant parent thing, going back to get your child. I have, I know my family wouldn't want me to say this, I have family members whose parents came back for them and have family members whose parents did not. And it's all, you know, there's a lot of feelings that comes with those things and those experiences, and people who weren't necessarily raised by their parents and some people whose experience was, I can't look at it like, even if I am searching for a goal, at the end of the day, the goal specific will be like, to go back and get my child. Right. Even if I didn't have that number one, that status that I wanted to be at, if the goal is to have my child, then I'm going to get my child. If the goal is to reach a certain level of success so that I can care for my child, and that's where it is to me. Like, my priorities on things don't come from the number of, like, oh, I got to reach this in order to do this other thing. Yeah. No, if I want to do this other thing, I'm going to do that thing regardless. My priorities and the values of the experiences that I want to have, as opposed to the meter that says this is the right way to do it. This is the appropriate number to be able to do something like that. Blase, blah, and yada, yada. Like, no, I'm just going to do the thing that I want to do. And I'm going to start a podcast, regardless of if it hits top charts on iTunes or gets, top ratings or if we get a bunch of advertisements. Like, no, I want to do the thing. I'm not doing it for any of those other reasons. So,
right. I do feel like society, history, celebrities, this, Hollywood, whatever streaming media puts a big surrounding that we're a capitalistic society, right? Like, we run on money. You buy things, you sell things. You buy things, you sell things. You buy things, you sell things. America is a capitalistic society. So I can understand how people kind of fall into that hole where it's like, I need money to do everything. I need a lot of money. Oh, this isn't enough. I need more money. Oh, this isn't enough. I need even more money. I have to keep getting money until I die. So I see how people fall into that hole. But being someone who lives very frugally and cheaply, I mean, I'm a little more quality on certain things now, but money is not everything.
We're trying to get you to care about quality. We try, girl. Like, it's okay to spend a little bit more so it'll last you a little bit longer.
I'm like, why? I can just get 10. I can just rebuy it 10 times for a dollar. Why would I get a good one for $10 right now? I can just buy them every month. Anywho's. What I was just trying to say is, like, with that mentality, I just don't see an end goal in sight. If the end goal is that I'm never stopping reaching my goals, it's like, okay, well, you can be 60 years old still trying to reach your goals when you could have, had maybe something else that was a better calling or a better fit or something that you could have been more financially or monetarily successful in faster had you said, you know what, let me refocus, let me pivot, let me leave this right here. And if it's meant to be, I'll come back to it. But you do have these people that are just like, nope, I'm steadfast holding on to this dream and never letting go. And then you have these other people in society who are saying, yeah, never let go of your dreams. Never have a plan B. That way your plan A always works. And I'm just like, okay. Okay. So yeah, that was my addition.
For what, goals?
Yeah, sure. Or lack thereof.
Okay, because I literally wrote for goals, don't care to talk about that. So I guess that was my contribution as well. Moving
on. Oh. That's a nice song for all you young cats out there.
That sounded very nice, Ollie.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you ready to enter into the safe space?
Yep.
All right. Would you like to grace us with what's on your mind, Mandy?
Sure. So I want to preface this by saying the majority of everything that I wrote for this episode was written weeks ago. I'm just going to keep it that way.
Oh, okay.
So if anyone's wondering why I'm talking about these things, this is because that's what I wrote weeks ago. So for my This is a Safe Space, I wrote, can you have closure or peace with something and still be emotionally affected by it?
Yes. 110,000,000,000% yes. Which sucks because it makes you second think, in my opinion, or second guess, like, well, maybe I don't have closure. But it's like, no, you can be done with the situation, have moved on from a situation, whether it's a relationship, a job, whatever, friendship, whatever, and it still affects you. You know what I mean? Whether you think about it randomly, whether you're sad about it, whether you're upset about it, whether it's just like, man, I thought I let this go, or I thought I moved on or healed from this. Like, I don't think that means that the person in question doesn't have closure, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I agree with everything you're saying. Sometimes I guess I forget that can happen, that you can still be mostly affected by things. Because I'll just, be talking about something or trying to give a perspective and then feel emotions bubbling back up. And I'm like, ooh, like catch you off guard. Like, what's happening? Oh no. Yeah,
for sure. I think that's pretty common, but again, it will have you, general you, not you, Mandy you, second guessing yourself. So that is the sucky part, where it's like, I found myself in situations where I'm like, okay, do I still have feelings for this person? Am I not over this situation? I thought we squashed this. And it's like, no, it's just a flare up. That's why I like to classify them as an emotional flare up.
Yeah. I definitely think that's a good way of putting it. I think it's just sometimes hard to figure out how to, if you're like, okay, I put myself in this situation, mm-hmm. or I'm dealing with this thing where an emotional flare up comes up. Wasn't expecting it to come up. Even if it wasn't like, oh, you are dealing with a specific person that mm-hmm. caused the flare up. You could just be doing something random, and then something that reminds you of yeah. that thing comes up, and then you're like, oh, now I'm in the middle of doing something or in the middle of an environment and I'm having an emotional flare up.
Yeah.
How do I continue?
How do you continue? That's a good question that I can't answer, because you're, especially the random ones. I mean, I can see if you see something that reminds you and it's like, oh, cute memento or something. But just to be like washing dishes and then have an emotional flare up, I'd be like, that's one thing. But in public or around other people, I don't know. How do you like counter that? Like, do you just let it out? Do you say, this is what I'm thinking about you guys? Do you cry? Like, what would you do?
I mean, in the times when I'm crying, I can't stop it. But I also have to be like, you know, try and play it off. Excuse me. Oh, like I think I try and laugh sometimes when I cry, like, especially if it's around people that I'm not comfortable crying in front of. 'Cause it's like, I was not prepared to cry in front of you, stranger, or you, someone that I know, but I don't know like that.
I like to tell you guys, or maybe I don't tell you guys, I like to say it all the time. I've known Mandy for over a decade, and I can count on one hand. Okay, well, I'm saying it again. I can count on one hand how many times I've seen this woman cry in real life. And it doesn't concern me, and it doesn't like make me feel any kind of way, like, oh, she won't cry in front of me. But I'm compared to all the times where I'm just like, hey, Mandy, so it's drastic. If we do the comparison, it's just very drastic.
Well, I'll just say, maybe when I'm in your presence, I don't feel need to cry.
Oh, look at you with the fake. With the fake.
One time I'm being super sincere and she's like, it's some fake shit.
Ain't no sincerity. Y'all can't see her smirking.
I was being sincere. Because I got a smile on my face, don't be. I wasn't being sincere.
She's smirking enough for her dimples to pop. She not being sincere at all. Maybe I'm comfortable enough for real.
No. See why I don't cry in front of her? No. Y'all? See, you believe see, when no, I show sincere emotion.
Okay.
What's in your This is a Safe Space?
I want to talk about it, but I also don't want to talk about it. I think I'll ask a general question and not get into specifics. I'm wondering if you think in our lifetime, us millennials, I suppose, as older than 25-year-olds, if we'll see change when it comes to racial biases, like in regards to cop killings, in regards to how people talk to you crazy at work, in regards to people holding their purse, crossing the street, whatever it is where someone says, oh, you have melanin, I'm afraid. Do you think we'll see a change in our lifetime?
You have melanin, so therefore you don't deserve to be in these spaces.
Yes, or you don't deserve to be here. You don't, you know, I'm going to look down upon you, or I'm better than you, whether blah, blah, blah. Like, do you think we're going to see any kind of real change in our lifetime?
I guess I'm wondering what change people like are wanting to see. Mm-hmm. Because I definitely think that there have been changes and there can continue to be changes. But if we want racism to stop, no, I don't think I'm going to see that in my lifetime.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that would be the major change. And I don't... I don't know. I don't know. Today I had a coworker asking me like, hey, have you heard about this case? And I was like, yeah, I'm like, of course I have. And then she's like, oh, I just started seeing it on my, she was like, no, she said, isn't it weird that they're not blasting this on the news or it's not like on our Instagram feed? And I was like, it's all over my Instagram feed. I said, our algorithms are just different. Like, you know, that's what it is. Our algorithms are different, like, you know, geared towards different things. And so I introduced her to this webpage, not webpage, this Instagram guy who does news, and some, most times it's funny, but when it's serious or it's like a case specifically against a black person, which is like every single day, he posts it. So I showed it to her and I was scrolling through it, and she was like, I had no idea all this was going on. And I'm just like, wow. Yeah. Yeah. And it threw me off because I'm like, this is, we're so heightened and aware of all these things all the time. And I'm just like, do other people who don't look like us see a big event, be like, that's wrong, we're going to march for it, and just think it's done? Do they not realize that it happens as often as it happens?
They don't realize because they don't live that life. Mm. Like, that's, I feel like we talked about it when it was first happening, but the reason why last year felt like such a big extreme thing is because everyone was at home and was forced to see what happened to George Floyd.
Yeah,
you did. There was no other place or thing to really talk about. Nothing was going on.
Right.
And so it was like, okay. Because even on a slow news day, mm-hmm. they'll avoid telling certain things. Yeah,
that's true.
If they so choose.
If they so choose. That is 110,000% infinity accurate. Yeah. So I'm... I don't know. I'm not even like, oh, I think our great, great, great grands, or when the world's all mixed and dipped and everyone's, you know, interchanged with each other. Like, I feel like there still be levels of classism or something ism. There will still be some kind of ism going on. So I'm not necessarily looking or wondering when will the world become perfect, but I'm just like, when will this specific thing, when will it click with you guys to stop?
I don't think it'll stop anytime soon, and I don't want to say that like I'm pessimistic, but when we were coming up, they would make Emmett Till seem like it was such a long yeah. old thing ago, and yeah. Emmett Till was like around the same age as like our grandparents type thing. Ruby Bridges is like the same age, well, she's actually younger than like my mother. Like these people's ages and their experiences were not that long ago, but they would say it as a form of history as if this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
When the reality is, the people who were greatly affected by those things and who enacted those type of changes, a lot of them are still alive, and those who aren't alive are because they were murdered for trying to fight for these changes. Right. And now that we are living in current situations of continued racism and therefore civil unrest, we are going to be the people who are, and these cases are going to be the ones that our children and grandchildren are going to reflect on and be like, this happened and people I know experienced it. People I know saw it. This happened to family members. And as long as they're still living beings to reflect on those times, there's going to be living beings that I feel like are opposing it. Because there are people today who aren't like, this is wrong, the end. There are people today who are still opposing that. Yeah. So they will continue to push that narrative of this situation is not an issue, or this situation is okay. It's their own person's fault that they were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be passed on to their children. And like, as long as there continues to be like that type of action, it will continue to live and breathe like any other organism. The hope is that we can continue to fight for systemic changes that help improve certain situations. Like in the 60s, lynching just became like illegal in certain states like last year.
Yes.
So not even police officers, but regular people off of the street could come break into your home and kill you and get away with that stuff. Like, have no criminal charges filed against them. We are just now coming into an environment because, and to be clear, that's essentially what happened with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. It was a random man off the street that felt like he had perceived authority over another person's life because that other person was a person of color.
Right.
We were just getting into a place where now police officers are being charged. So I just feel like we're at the beginning of that process.
That's a good point. Instead of just administrative leave, or they left, or they resigned, or like a charge is completely different from that whole process. So yeah, that's a good point, like bringing up that we're just starting to see legal action against the officers involved. And I mean, it doesn't always end up in guilty, but at least the process is there.
Yeah. And that's one of those things, even when folks are like, oh, the charge should be murder, why is it manslaughter? Again, it's like little baby steps. It is so difficult, especially for first degree murder, to prove that this person did. Yeah. So to me, a lot of times when I see those charges, I'm like, I mean, if we are trying to get any kind of jail time, yeah, put it as manslaughter, because that's a lot easier to prove than murder. And it would, I would love for it to just be plain as that this person murdered it. We all saw it. Give them, you know, throw the book at them, as they say.
Yeah.
But we are dealing within the confines of the criminal system. And the reality is the way that the justice system works isn't just facts, truth. It's what can be proven in a court of law.
Yes. And people, I think, and I understand you are being passionate and you feel like you need to get up, you need to get out, and you're upset and whatnot, but that doesn't mean like the rules change. So I think it's important that people are aware that legally this is probably what can stick the best. Like, and also you have to prove that like preconceived intent for murder and stuff like that. Like, you can't just be like, she needs, or in whichever case, they need to be charged with this because this is what it is. And it's also like, okay, well, as Mandy said, it's what you can prove in court. What will stick in court? What defense or prosecution has the best route of this person paying consequences? And will they be the consequences we want? Probably not. But it will more than likely stick with this route. So
yeah. I just feel like it's a continued long process. And I don't want it to be the amount of pain that we feel makes us slow down in any certain amount of efforts. That's why certain like civil rights leaders were so dynamic, like John Lewis. Like, he then took it over to Congress, and like some folks may feel like, oh, he could have done more, but I'm like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, he tried.
Yeah,
he dedicated his life to trying to make changes for his community.
Right.
And and because he dedicated his life to it, he understood it was a hard, arduous process. It was not, you should have done it this way, and you should have done it that way, and I would do it this, because I can't stand, and I'm going to get further into that in my meat and potatoes, when people are like, this is the way I would have done it. Again, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, if I just said this to Mandy, but you wouldn't bust no, I mean, I just said this to Ali, but you ain't going to bust a grape. Like, you trying to say that this is the way. Meanwhile, you sitting at home talking about how you woulda, shoulda, coulda, or how I, like, you're not do.
You ain't going to bust a grape.
You ain't going to bust a grape.
If you want to migrate to meat and potatoes, I'm ready.
I mean, no, because the thing I want to talk about with meat and potatoes isn't this thing in particular. Okay. So I want to make sure we wrap this up.
Okay.
As much as we need to before we go into the meat and potatoes. But Yeah, I won't say I didn't want to talk about this on the podcast because I don't feel like we could not talk about it.
I try to keep it generic or general and not get into the specific cases. And I don't mean that in by any disrespect, listeners. I feel like I hate using that this term, but I feel like it's trauma porn. And I don't want to watch either one. I don't want to watch porn. I don't watch trauma. I definitely don't want to watch trauma porn. It's just too much for me. And I'm just like, I'm not pretending not to see it. Like, I'm reading all the articles. I'm looking at the stories. I'm looking at the videos. But I'm not talking about it right now. And I just don't think I can. Even with the coworker, I was just like, yep. This is what's going on. Yep, here's a resource. But we didn't like get down to the bare bones. I was just like, you can watch this video and you can watch this video. And that was it. Because I don't think I can, you know, keep having the same conversation. Like, it's the same conversation, essentially. And I don't know.
I just look at it as like going back to the goal thing that we were talking about, even though I wasn't, you know, trying to talk about goals, is like, what are the things that I want to do to contribute to the betterment of society to make, yes, to make these things less likely, even in my saying I don't think it's going to end in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I don't want to see an improvement towards a better thing.
Right.
There's still a lot of things that my grandparents and parents experienced growing up and things that they never thought they would see that they're seeing now, and they can be thankful. But not just thankful, like proud that their children were able to accomplish and do, because they never dreamed of being able to accomplish and do those things. Things that they themselves now are being able to do and accomplish that they never dreamed of being able to do or accomplish, because it was not made possible for them until they and a lot of other people put in work to make it possible. To, you know, all the things people before them put in work to make it possible. I think that most of the civil rights leaders, the thing that they had within them, they might be them ones that was hustlers for real, who were like, I'm going to keep pushing this, even if I never see the goal.
Mm.
And that's why I'm like, there are people who got that spirit in them.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to stop. I just don't understand. Like, having a complete 180 after what we just talked about. But I mean, I was specifically talking about monetary things. But those people who got a dream or a vision or a goal towards some real equality, equity, less discrimination, no discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Justice literally for all. Peace in the world.
Yep.
I don't want you to stop. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to keep going.
Yeah. For sure, we need you. It's not my ministry, but I can definitely support you in your ministry. If that's your goal and you like, I'm with it till the day I die, I can definitely support you.
That part. And everybody, don't be afraid to do self-care and therapy if you got a therapist.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We definitely talk about wellness, mental wellness and therapy and how that part, what Mandy said. Are you ready to move on to the meat and potatoes?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, Mandy, what's on your plate for meat and potatoes?
Again, I want to note that my meat and potato was written weeks ago. Okay. And this one is more so for Ollie than y'all guys.
Okay.
I am someone who can organize or plan something, but I'm pretty flexible on details for stuff. So if I'm organizing or planning something and you have an input, feel free to add that input. However, don't complain about my plans when you don't plan to contribute.
When you say plan to contribute, do you mean like suggestions or money or any kind of contribution?
Any kind of contribution. You like, oh, what are we doing on this day? And then I come up with a list of things. And then the day comes, you like, oh, this all we doing? Or, okay, guys, we're going out to eat. Where are we going out to eat, Mandy? You pick. I don't really like this restaurant. This food didn't taste good. They don't got bottomless mimosas here. Like, whatever the case may be, like, if you knew a spot with bottomless mimosas and that was a priority to you, you should have spoke up, should have said something. Don't come to the function complaining. If you didn't do anything to help make it and you had opportunity to. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I will not take your suggestion. I'll tell you, feel free.
Yeah, Mandy, I don't think she's ever been like, no, your suggestion's stupid. Shut up, you stupid suggestion. Or whatever. I don't think she's ever been like that. So, yeah, I can understand that sentiment where it's like, I've given you options and you turn them all down. I've actually had that said to me before. But I feel like I specifically was like, I'm okay with doing these things, and here go the stipulations of the options. So I'm not going to say I'm on the fence with that. I'm sitting on your side of the table for this meat and potatoes meal. I'm sitting on your side of the table for this. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it'd be okay if you didn't. Yeah, I would just agree, because I'm like... For me, it's like, if you're going to keep being the complainer, you're going to stop getting invited. Because you're not about to ruin my good time with your complaints and lack of contributions.
Yeah. Or the people that show up are just like, oh, I want to do more. I want to do this. I want to do that. And it's like, okay, they'll tell me exactly how we want to get this done. Oh, I don't know. Or you decide. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I do not like. If I plan kind of like the umbrella of it and people get into specifics or something like that, I'm just like, no. Or if they're like it's a group of non-decision makers, we just gonna be sitting there, because I do not feel comfortable making all the decisions myself, because I do fear that, oh, someone's not going to like the food here, or the drinks here, or the service here, or the atmosphere here, or the location, or this or that. So I'm just like, no, you can't, don't leave it all up to me. Let's effort, team effort. Let's make a group decision. That's how I feel.
Shout out to Issa. I don't mind making a decision. I'm just not gonna be here for you being like, why did we choose this? Because nobody else said nothing. That's
I feel like that's obvious, though. Like, as older than 25-year-olds, we should be able to speak up and say your mind and talk out loud with what it is you might want to do, or an alternative, or maybe this place. So, like, speak up, you guys. If you're, I don't know, shy or afraid, or just maybe you're one of those people that likes to wait until something goes wrong, then speak up. How about you do that beforehand? And then, you know, it's on you, I guess, maybe, if you choose.
I just know there are some people who like want to be able to flex, like, for the gram or whatever. Like, they like, oh, I want to come to a thing and I want it to look like
I'm having time my life.
Like, even if it's like, oh, we're going on a hike, they want the most picturesque walking trail. They don't just want to be like, go to the walking trail down the street. And for me, I'm like, I'm out here for exercise / convenience, so I'm gonna pick the one that's down the street. I'm not Like, I don't live in LA, but I'm not necessarily gonna go to Runyon Canyon because everybody talks about Runyon Canyon and be able to put my location that is Runyon Canyon and look at how it overlooks the city. I'm gonna just be like, where's the closest place to go walking? And if you specifically want Runyon Canyon, you best to say something. Otherwise, we're gonna go to the little park down the street.
I wish y'all could see Mandy's facial expressions right now. It's so funny and all over the place. I understand what you're saying. I also do understand the people, though, who are like, oh, I want to make a photographic memory, or oh, I want to go to this historic place or this popping place or this recently mentioned place and say I've been there.
But they don't say that.
Okay. Then that's on them. That's
they just be like, oh, I wish this was more photogenic. Because, you know, like sometimes you'll be somewhere and you'll be like, oh, I didn't know there was this really cool graffiti. Let me take a picture.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
I feel like that's how they want, that's sometimes with people, that's how they want every experience to be. Mm-hmm. And they're just hoping it happens to end up like that. And then if it doesn't, if there was nothing that they felt like super popped about this experience. But I'm like, but you was, what did old girl say on Cheetah Girls? You was gung-ho for the talent show. Like, yeah, I feel like Cheetah Girls is a good example. Like, we was gonna be doing the talent show at our local high school, and we was gonna be the best popping thing. Yeah. Some little music producer person said that, oh, maybe you can go and be on a record, and now you don't want to do the talent show. We plan to do the talent show. Okay, you say you want to do this other thing now? Well, now we're gonna go become record producers. But they don't not doing it your way. Now you want to go back to the talent show? What's happening here? Like, come on, Galleria. And you can't be all gung ho for the talent show. All of a sudden, I've been
in the camera, the curtain the whole time. I knew y'all was gonna come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. And maybe I would just encourage everyone to speak up, speak your mind. I need that too sometimes. Because again, I'm also not trying to monopolize the situation or going out or make it about what Ollie wants to do. So. That's something I feel like I actively have to check. So don't feel like you have to be meek, because it could be that maybe someone else in the group also wants to do what you want to do. Or, you know, maybe whoever, maybe it's not a group, maybe it's you and just someone else. So speak up, make your intentions clear, and make your voice heard.
Bet. What's your meat and potatoes?
I wanted to talk about body positivity. I want to go back to the intro where I said, your body is a summer body. And also talking with a coworker today, I made a comment, and I'm always joking. I'm always like making her laugh and just saying like random stuff, because I feel like that's just me and my nature. Jokes, laughter, haha. And today I said something, but I meant it full-heartedly, but I also felt like, do I not feel positive about my body? Well, it was about body. So she was mentioning that she's never been to one of the cities that I grew up in Atlanta. And so I was like, oh, I gotta take you and da 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 da. And so then we got to talking about different atmospheres, different things to do and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, because out here I'm a 6.5, but in Atlanta I'm a solid 12. And so we were both laughing and stuff. And then I thought about it. I was like, why did I say that? I was like, do I not feel good about my body here? And then I was like, no, that's not it. Because I am always like trying to tone and do things like that. But I know that the environment here for women and aesthetics is different than the environment in Atlanta for women and aesthetics. And what I mean by that is that the environment here is like long hair, thin, and then you're the most beautiful thing. Long hair and
thin.
Are
you trying not to say one of your best assets? That's what's happening. You're trying not to highlight a certain thing.
What I'm saying is that the people in this city, from my experience, and again, I've dated here and stuff, so it's not like I'm not pulling, you know, it's not like I'm not pulling. But what I've noticed is that the people that get the most attention, if there was a statistic poll or something, are thin and usually like blonde hair. And in Atlanta, it's different. And I understand the demographic is also different, but I feel like aesthetically, it's like you could be plump, you could be jiggly, you could be BBW, you could be thin, you could be round, you could be all these things. So I feel like since so many body shapes are accepted in Atlanta, then it's like, well, whatever your body shape, now it's about your personality. It's about all this extra stuff. And, you know, the body is just extra stuff or whatever. So I don't know exactly what I was trying to say for this meat and potatoes. I guess I wanted to know, Mandy, if that comment that I made about, oh, here I'm like a 6.5, but in Atlanta I'm a solid 12. Does that sound like negative body image? You think so?
I think it sounds like you're comparing to something in a non-positive way. Because it's not like, just like, oh, I don't like feel like universally I'm everyone's cup of tea. I think it's specifically, like, if you said that to me, I wouldn't even necessarily think it has to do with my body. But the fact that you put it to your, like, in regards to that, I think that that's where your mindset was going, and that you're comparing your body to maybe other people here or what you think people there want to see.
Yeah. I don't necessarily feel like it's a thing. I feel like I've been here long enough and it's a pattern type of thing. But I don't know.
But a pattern that you're mindful of.
Yeah, because I feel like in most of the situations, like, that's what I'm surrounded by. I'm not surrounded by anybody who looks like me. Like, anybody who looks like me. So, yeah, it's not just like, oh, it's in the back of my mind. It's just like, there's nobody around here that looks like me. So,
I mean, I grew up in Atlanta and I never had the desired body type of those in Atlanta. But like you said, it wasn't a question.
I just told you that there are so many body types in Atlanta. So then it goes to whatever, like, bump your body. Like, your body's banging or your body's this and that.
Yeah, I heard what you said. I agree with you that anyone can be viewed as attractive in Atlanta. Like, universally, they're like, women are attractive. Mm-hmm. I'd still do agree that there may be a desired body type that I didn't fall into. And but no one was ever like, but you're not cute because your body don't look like this. They're just like, you cute, but you don't got this. And I'm like, yeah, I don't.
But you don't got what?
Did you want me to name names?
That's why I stopped. Like... I chilled off.
See, I never had that, like, growing up, but I didn't feel... I'll just say this, like, I've never been in the thought process of, like, oh, I need to get some surgery because I don't have this thing. And I can feel like in certain environments that is definitely put on people to feel like they have to change certain aspects of their body. Yes. Even if it's not like surgery, if it's like working out or just whatever, but
yeah,
they have to change certain aspects of their body to be correct with a certain environment.
Yeah. Yeah, this new job is kind of, it's not health related, but it's within the sphere of being active and mobile and stuff like that. So I found myself like, okay, do I want to get in on what they're getting in? Do I want to just continue to do what I'm doing at home randomly? Do I want to have a more consistent schedule? But I have found myself like, okay, yeah, we'll start when we tie. Okay, yeah, we'll start this. So I've been like doing more things. But I'm conscious of it. Like, I'm aware that, okay, would this be good for me and my mind and my body, and my spirit and everything? Yeah. Am I necessarily doing it all for me? No. I am definitely being influenced by my environment and doing it for my environment to be more accepted in this environment. But I also see it as like, okay, it's a challenge and it's something new. Because I don't think I've ever said to myself, you know what? I wonder what would happen in this environment if I decided to change this or if I decided to do this. So I don't want to say it's kind of also like an experiment for me, but it is definitely something that I'm actively doing. And it's not necessarily something I want to do, but I am curious for the outcome.
So in knowing... And I'll say this is something I believe. I don't know if it's something you believe. If you do all of the activities that they're doing that they say this is the way to a better life or health or whatever, mm-hmm. in knowing that because of the body type that you have, it still won't match industry standard of the area that you live. Like, you could do all the things and your body could get snatched, girl. It could be... But you still gonna have certain assets because that is biologically how your body is made.
Well, that's what I'm curious about. I'm like, okay, well, if this gets toned, that gets toned, but some other stuff stays the same, then what would that attract? That's what I'm curious about. I'm not interested in talking to anything or anybody that it attracts randomly because I'm like, back then they didn't want me, now I'm hot, they all on me. That's how I would feel / am feeling. But I am curious to know, like, okay, well, what will that look like? You know what I mean?
Okay. You tell me what it look like when you get there. I believe you.
I will.
You're going to get there. I believe in you.
I believe in me too. And I think as long as I don't pressure myself, it'll happen and I won't even realize it. So, yeah.
I'm just hoping to go, you know, walking outside when the sun is out type thing. Nice. You know, that's just what I'm trying to do. The way this body's looking, it's never looked like this before. But I'm like, I guess, you know, like you said in the intro, this is the body that we got right now, guys. This is what we're dealing with. So
this is the body. Okie dokie. You ready to move on to our underappreciated awards?
Sure, I'd love to.
I actually have, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, but I have a new microphone set up and it actually has like all these additional like sounds and stuff you can do. It's like a clap and a thank you and a laugh. And I thought I had a drum roll, a kissy noise, but I'm not seeing the drum button now, so I'm not gonna test it out.
Okay. Maybe for next time.
Maybe next time. Okay, who's receiving your underappreciated award for today, Mandy?
I already asked you.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I was talking. Were you trying to talk over me?
Definitely wasn't that, but okay.
My underappreciated award is going to Savoy. There is an Instagram account called The Savoy Show, and he has not safe for work items. He's someone that I mentioned earlier that usually posts funny things or talking points, but definitely anything involved in injustice against someone who is melanated, he is posting it. So I wanted to shout out him for being transparent, for being unafraid to share his blunt opinion on certain stuff and to make silly captions and just like crazy stuff. And I'm sure some of it could be taken as offensive depending on where you fall on some of the issues he posts, but I feel like overall he's for the people, so I wanted to give him today's underappreciated award.
Shout out to Savoy. I've never heard of him before.
The Savoy Show on Instagram.
I see. I want to give my underappreciated awards to two beings. I'm trying to figure out which one I should give it to first. I'm going to go with the one I wrote second first. So I want to give my underappreciated award to Allison Stoner. Many people may know her from Mike's Super Short Show. Mm-hmm. Many people may know her from such acting gigs as Cheaper by the Dozen. Mm-hmm. Some people Camp may Rock. Know her as the little white girl that used to dance in the Missy Elliott videos.
Camp Rock.
Either way, she was a child star, and she has begun a movement for the advocation and protection of child stars because there is a syndrome / pipeline of basically unsafe environments. She believes that there's like been studies on it, and that she was also a victim of like unsafe environments being put that child stars and child actors are put into, and that spirals into their adulthood and negatively affects them. And that typically when they get to those teenage to adult years, the industry then turns on them to make it seem as though they have gone wild and crazy, or they do this or that, or blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, a good example to look at is what was happening with Britney Spears, you know, in the 80s, they talked about the Corys, just so many people, Lindsay Lohan, so many people, so many things. And she just talked about how it really comes from a toxic environment that does not protect the children working in it. And so she wants to make changes towards better helping not just people in the entertainment industry or children in the entertainment industry, but just children in working environments, to make sure that they are protected, kept safe, and that this cycle does not continue. So for those who are interested, I really ask that you look her up and look up her movement, because I feel like it's really important. And I feel like way back when, and this may be on that first episode that was never released, but I gave my underappreciated award out to child stars. Like, I think on my very first episode, though it wasn't released. And so I just wanted to come back full circle to give it to Allison Stoner for that similar reason. They have a lot of pressure that's put on them. And it's heartbreaking to know that they are not being put in safe environments to make sure that they have, you know, a healthy situation. And even for those people who may think like, you know, it's their parents' jobs to make sure they're safe. In any industry where someone isn't knowledgeable, you're going to lean on those who work in it, who are professionals in it, who you believe have that information. Mm-hmm. And if even parents are there, but they're looking to the people on the team to do what's in the best interest of the child, and they're not doing what's in the best interest of the child, it makes it very difficult for a parent to advocate if they don't know what they need to advocate on. So she's trying to bring more awareness to even allow parents to better be able to advocate for their children, if their children are going to be a part of certain industries.
That seems like an awesome movement. I hadn't heard that Allison Stoner was doing that. So it's good and it's well needed. And I feel like the Corys situation, the documentaries came out, interviews came out, and then it kind of like blew over. And then we also had like Pizzagate come out, and then it kind of like blew over. So I don't know.
What's Pizzagate?
I don't think we should talk about it right now.
Okay.
But we could definitely talk about it later. Okay. Or you can look it up later.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just feel like these kinds of, this particular injustice is glazed over, and kept hushed. So, yeah, I'm glad that she's doing something about it. I hadn't heard anything about this, so cool.
Yeah. The other underappreciated award I wanted to give is to The Robinson Sound, yay! Who is constantly editing our podcast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They just had a milestone birthday.
Woo-hoo! Wait, can I try my clap edit? Can I try it now? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's working. Clap, 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 clap.
I hear it.
I didn't hear it. Cool.
Okay. See, Robinson Sound, we didn't even make you add in your own clap. So shout out to you. For the work that you do for us, we greatly appreciate it.
We do.
And we wanted to, you know, give you a shout out also for your milestone birthday.
Woohoo! Yeah. All right. So, Mandy, would you like to tell the people where they can find us and listen to us?
Yep. You can find us on the Instagrams and the Twitters at MNO Podcast, where you can, you know, retweet things that we post, let people know about the podcast. We'll engage with you guys there as well. You can also send us your questions, comments, and concerns at mandyandollie@gmail.com. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us wherever you can rate us, you know, like on iTunes and whatnot.
Yes.
And I think that's it. I forgot what else I was going to say. So it's hopefully that's everything.
You guys can listen to us on Spotify. You can listen to us on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. We will be right there waiting to grace your ears. It was so good to talk to you all. I am so happy that we got to do this. It's been a minute, Mandy.
Yeah, it has. Hopefully, won't be another minute, but we'll see.
We'll see. You know, life. Okay. Bye.
Bye. I know you from back when. Yeah, way back when.